miserable day out at MetLife Stadium. The Giants finish a disappointing season on a high note, going 7-3 in their last 10 games. They finished today with a 20-6 victory over the Washington Redskins. How you doing, everybody? I am Russ Salzberg. Welcome once again to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. As always, my colleagues joining me, Roman Oben, Sean O'Hara, and Amani. And listen, guys, unfortunately, this is our last one of the season. Nobody wanted it that way. Certainly anybody connected with the organization. But they do finish on a high note. And 7-3 to finish after an 0-6 start is not a bad way to close it out.
Well, guys, we had to be honest here. After that 6th loss, the Chicago Bears game, we all said, wait, hey, 6-10 or 7-9 is probably going to be a good season because that means they're winning 6 or 7 out of their last 10. Look, they won the last two games. You can't mask all the issues they had this year that led to that terrible start. But they played well the last 2 weeks, and we saw some promises, especially guys like Darrell Jernigan getting involved.
Well, I mean, Roman, they played well after going 0-6, but it was really the defense that carried this team.
Right.
And I think you can't give Perry Fuel enough credit for what he did with this defense down that stretch when they put a strong couple wins together. And I think John Beeson obviously was a huge addition to them, Antral Roll, you know, the leadership that they provided, Justin Tuck as well. I thought the defense really came together and carried this team through the second half. But, you know, for the New York Giants to play this season, and then really even today was kind of a summary of the entire season.
Oh, okay, yeah,
just awful football. I mean, balls are flying everywhere, drop passes, fumbles.
Tips.
I mean, it was just terrible football. Thank goodness the Giants were able to come away with the win just to kind of put a little cherry on top of what was a very, very bad, rough season for everybody.
I mean, Sean, you got to go back to when they were 0-6. I mean, everybody was looking at this team thinking the foundation was weak. Nobody was responding well to Tom Coughlin. Now, after the second half, the last 10 games of the year, you know, the foundation seems like it's back on, it's steady. The players are responding to the coaches. The coaches are finding a way, finally getting through to their players. And now you know that there's going to be 30 players that they're going to have to make decisions on to whether they're going to bring them back because they're in their contract years. So there's going to be a lot of turnover, but you know that this is a program that is that has the potential to have long runs and to be a team that will compete for a playoff because there's going to be a lot of turnover next year.
Well, one thing we know, all that nonsense about, you know, Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin's coming back, and they never quit on him. You guys played for him. He weathers every storm, but there are certain storms you can't weather, and that is injury. We finally saw Eli Manning go down today with an ankle sprain. Who knows what's going to be with Will Beatty moving forward, a broken leg. So there are a lot of things that, in terms of the foundation, that still need to be answered, in particular on that offensive line.
Russ, I mean, just when you thought the season couldn't get any worse, I mean, guys go down. And, you know, it wasn't just them. Reuben Randall went out early in the game. Then Hakeem Nicks tapped out as well. I mean, players were dropping like flies. And you said, I mean, for Eli, he started 151 straight games. So to see him get hurt, I mean, that's obviously a huge concern for the Giants. Hopefully he'll be okay. But Will Beatty, I think we would all agree that the best thing for Will Beatty was going to be a big offseason, the conditioning program to get a little stronger, you know, kind of get back to the grassroots of what made him a good left tackle in this league. And now for him to have that setback, that could be a huge blow for this Giants offensive line, who is going to have some turnover because of some of the players' contracts and some of the age of some of this offensive line.
Well, let me ask both of you, because you're the old lineman. I don't know that a broken leg is good for any player, but how about for an offensive lineman coming back from a broken leg? And we don't know the severity of it at this point.
Well, I broke my leg in college, and it was a tib-fib fracture, and I came back in 6 months, so it's not an ACL. I don't know, Amani, you've had an ACL. It's not some of the a joint or a ligament tear, so it's something that you can come back from 100%. And I think since we're on offense, we're all offensive players here, we've got to be honest about the quality of product that's put out there every Sunday by this Giants offense.
Yeah.
Like, something has to change.
It wasn't good.
You've got a $100 million quarterback.
Yeah.
You've got to protect him. You've got to help him with the running game. You've got, you know, play calling, all that stuff. When you're seeing worse quarterbacks and worse offensive systems being productive, I mean, look at San Diego a couple weeks ago.
Change is a great point, Roman, and because that's the one thing we didn't see. We saw the offense running the same exact plays, the same we're going to throw the ball downfield, you know, the same interceptions on first down. When we were talking about breaking down Eli's interceptions, 12 of his 27 interceptions came on first down. So, you know, they're trying to throw the ball down the field, and that's where he got in trouble. But you mentioned the San Diego. I mean, Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator that came over from Denver, you look at their offense, too. I mean, you would love to play in that offense. A lot of rub routes, a lot of different combination routes. They're, and offenses all across the NFL are adapting to these new rules that defense now are not allowed to contact at 5 yards. So for the Giants, I mean, they're going to have to tweak some things offensive. They're going to have to find a way to use their players better. And they can't just say, we're going to take this system and just plug in the players and not change the system. Good coaches have to adapt to the talent that's around them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what Victor Cruz said earlier this week about how Eli and the receiving core weren't on the same page. And that has to do with maybe a system being a little too complex for this group of receivers.
Yeah.
Maybe not for ones in the past,
the
but
reps.
For this group of receivers, they can't consistently, you see balls flying where receivers turn one way, the ball goes the other.
Yeah.
Those are unacceptable things, especially in the NFL. Especially later on in the season like we did see them. So I agree with you, Sean. There was some change that needed to take place in terms of getting the ball out of the hand of Eli Manning a lot quicker because our offensive line wasn't as good as they were in the past. So there's some things that I felt, that we all felt, talking off air, they should have changed to help this team be more successful.
All right, well, a lot of questions still need to be answered. We're not going to get all those answers today. That's coming. That's really for Coach Coughlin starts tomorrow and Jerry Reese. But right now, you are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Lots more to come. Head Coach Tom Coughlin's press conference and player reaction, so stay right where you are. Once again, the Giants post game live here on My9. Again, Giants close out their season with a 20-6 victory and over the Washington Redskins. One guy let's, you know, talk about today. Obviously, we're projecting to next season, but Jarrell Jernigan. I mean, that young man really has picked it up, and I think he has definitely said to the Giants, here, this is what I can do. You've been waiting for me to see something, and now I'm showing it to you.
He's definitely. He said, give me another look. You know, he's played this his third year. He's been on the bench most of the year. I had a similar situation. I didn't get a chance to play that much, and you get a chance and improve.
All right, we're going to go right now, though. We'll get back to Jarrell later. Let's not go to the head coach, Tom Coughlin.
And I'm just making plays on balls.
All games. But the way we played today, we had a lot of injuries. A lot of things happened out there. It was obviously not a great day from a weather standpoint, but everybody hung in there. Both sides battled well. A lot of turnovers in the game, naturally, because of the weather. But, you know, I liked the way we finished. You know, we did put the ball on the ground there toward the end, and we made substantial yardage, and we were playing with down to our last offensive lineman, or we didn't have any left. We had a couple of injuries there. So I was happy with the way it finished. Our defense played very, very well and did not allow them really any points in the second half. So the outcome of the game was good. We handled some of the more difficult areas well. We did roll a couple snaps back, but the punter handled that and did a good job with it. And so I thought that, you know, our special teams, you know, we didn't quite cover the kicks the way we wanted to today. The ball came out a little bit, but we got the same type of returns when we were up. So, you know, it certainly was from the start to the finish. In the last 10 games, we did win 7, and I was proud of the way they stayed together as a team. That was the whole idea. We had good leadership with regard to that. Our captains did a nice job, and they can't do it alone. But the attitude and the approach that this team took, regardless of some of the very difficult Mondays that we had, was very impressive from a standpoint of maturity and professionalism, and I was proud of that. No questions, good.
You talked about the team emphasizing individually. What are your thoughts about Jarrell finishing the season?
I was really pleased for him. The way in which he played and the way he finished, you know, he grew into a guy that wanted the ball and did things well with the ball when he got it. I mean, the throw from Eli to Jarrell for the touchdown catch was an excellent throw and an excellent catch among two people in the crowd. And then we were really trying to get the ball to him in a fashion in the second half. And the run gave us an opportunity to. He had two runs. He had a lot of yards for two runs, one of which was obviously a score. So he played very well. And He responded to the circumstances toward the end of the year. His play time increased, and he responded very well to it. And I was happy for him the way he played. He's a tough guy, and we saw that down the stretch. It's a high ankle sprain. Yeah, I don't want to see it again. That's a fracture of some type. I'm not sure exactly tib fib or just one of the bones. I don't have that information for you, but yeah, he was hurt. Don't ask me that. I'm not answering that type of question right now. There'll be an evaluation of everything, I'm sure, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Well, he played well all year. He did what I had wanted him to do, and what he wanted to do was really he was just an example and played hard. I thought he was an excellent example for our younger players. He practiced. He played well. He really kept his mouth shut most of the year and did a nice job with that. But he responded well and had a very good year.
Do you think the meeting he likes this year physically finally culminated in a rare set having to leave the game? Do you have any concerns that type of season can carry over for him, or do you think no matter who's here next year, you know, that he'll be better?
Oh, he'll respond, and hopefully we'll do a job on the other end as well, you know, and protect him better. Well, if I want to look at it in extremes, the first is the 0-6, and how did that happen? And then the rest is the fact we battled back from that, but too little, too late. But again, when I said I was proud of this team, I am. I know it's not what everybody wanted. I didn't want it either, but 7-9 is a heck of a lot better than 6-10.
When Eli first got hurt, he got stated one more play. Could you tell that he was hurting?
He acted like, well, he always does. But when I saw him have difficulty coming off the field, then obviously you knew that I didn't think he'd be able to continue.
With the option, a lot of ways the Sims franchise has been built around Eli and his ability to stay on the field every Sunday. Because of that, in the offseason, to just find every way possible to move the team as far as protecting him. Is that a priority for you?
It would be an objective for sure. Okay.
All right, there was the final press conference for, Tom Coughlin, at least post-game press conference this season. And listen, you know he's not happy, because when you start out 0-6, you know it's not going to be a happy ending. But again, they didn't quit. They stayed together. And I think a coach has to have pride in that, because he knows you still have control of a situation.
Well, I think, for Tom, I mean, he said it, he's happy that they found a way to win, and, especially at home, it was a very sloppy game. The defense bailed them out. The injuries, obviously, are a big factor in that game. But, I think he mentioned offensive linemen, and he mentioned there was a question there. We had to find a way to protect Eli better. When I looked out on that field, Roman, and I saw the offensive line, there was not one single starting offensive lineman out from the beginning of the season, week one, playing in their same position. Justin Pugh, I mean, the rookie at right tackle, I mean, he was supposed to be starting. Dave Deal was in there earlier, then he got hurt. So now Deal's in a guard for Snee. Booth's in a center for Boss. And then Dallas Reynolds had to come in because James Brewer, I don't know if he got benched or if he got dinged up. And then Beatty out of the game, they bring in Steven Gooden. So the five offensive linemen that are out there playing in that game, only Deal and Booth were really supposed to be starting, and they were playing different positions. So I give a lot of credit to them. Those guys are going out there and battling. But that's got to be numero uno. That's got to be the number one thing that they do offensively. They have to find a way to protect Eli.
To your point, Sean, and it goes back to how you comprise this roster, when you keep – you know, 9-10 offensive linemen, I mean, those guys all got to play.
Yeah.
And you can't just guarantee that these five guys are going to get injured or not going to get injured. And your era, when you had, you know, you guys, you know, Richie and everyone, you guys inside, and McKenzie.
Wait a minute. Your era, you sound like it was wearing all that.
Hey, now I'm an old guy.
That got the gray. You know the gray.
I got a couple of grays.
A lot of things were taken for granted because you guys all played together for about five straight years.
Yeah, there was without
missing, without missing a game. So when you comprise these rosters, that eighth, ninth guy is going to play. You know, Kevin Booth, perfect example.
Yeah.
He's a guy that came in as a backup, you know, goal line tight end, all that stuff, and worked his way through the ranks as a starter.
Yeah.
But in most, you know, ideally, you want that guy come off the bench who can guarantee you and no drop-off in production. So you see those guys out there, but those are guys that made the team. But so those guys got to play.
But there's a lot of guys, a lot of positions on this offense that, you know, the running back situation, they had a whole bunch of injuries.
Yeah,
the wide receivers, I mean, Nixon, Randall, Cruz, all out today for the remainder of the game. So, you know, injuries are a part of football, as we all know. They have to overcome it. And this really comes into account to back to where we first started, you know, a couple of weeks ago, with about the depth of this team. The depth of this team, which was tested this year, unlike it's been tested in other years.
Yeah.
And now all the bad draft picks, all the players that didn't pan out, they're all being forced to play, and this is what you get. You get a team, you get a season that ends up looking like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're asking guys to do more than really was expected of a lot of the guys. And again, you know, it was a good finish, but a bad start, and that's why our season ends today for the Giants at 7-9. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on MyNow. We've got a lot more coming up, including today's Giants star of the game, Jarrell Jernigan, so stay right where you are.
Finished up the season 7-3 on quite a roll. I'm sure that's got to make you personally very proud as well as this team.
Yeah, definitely, man. We were resilient. We showed a lot of pride, a lot of heart. You know, it didn't go the way we wanted. A couple of those games we wish we can have back and get in the dance, but, you know, nevertheless, man, we're happy the way we finished up.
My brother.
Hey, what's up, man?
John getting all kinds of greetings. He is a favorite around the league. How much do you want to be back here? We know you're an unrestricted free agent.
Hey, I'm happy, man. I feel home. You know, I love the guys here, the city. Everything's been great, man. The stage is set to do big things next year.
Can you tell me what it means to be a Giant? Have you established that flavor in your mouth yet?
You know what? It's so much tradition. It's so much to do, and the expectations are high, and I think that it gives an opportunity to do great things. So, you know, for me, hopefully everything works out. They take care of me. We'll be here. I'm happy.
John Beeson, thanks for your time.
Love, bro.
Well, Prince, another stellar job today. They put you on Garcon. You did a terrific job, and you have to be incredibly proud with the way you finished up this season personally.
Yes, this was a huge progressing season for me. Learned a lot, got a lot done this offseason, and wish I would have made more plays on the balls, but I'm going to work on that this offseason.
What is the next level for you as you try to establish yourself as an even finer corner in this league?
Just having the assignment that I've had the last 2 weeks, following the team. Best player, and I'm just making plays on balls.
And then finally, what does this say about this defense, that it has fought and scrapped all season long? You guys finish up winning 7 out of your last 10, and this D really led the way.
It just says that we've been great with dealing with adversity, especially with our backs against the walls, with a game that people say that we have nothing to play for, but we showed up, and we got it done.
Finally, Tom Coughlin said this is a good group of guys. He really likes these guys. How much do you want most of these guys to stay together?
Coach Coughlin is a great coach, future Hall of Famer, and he's right. We do have a great group of guys, and I mean, for us to stay together, it's not likely in the NFL, but whatever happens, happens.
Prince Mukumar, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, thank you, Paul Dottino. Paul, by the way, has his boat docked on Route 3 there. It looks like he's going salmon fishing or something.
He's
going
to put a line in the water pretty soon.
But one point, he was speaking to Mr. John Beeson there. The Giants, one thing that they were very fortunate about, they ended up with John Beeson because he has been a stud linebacker, and that's key to keeping him as a Giant.
Yeah, I said this during the week, that John Beeson is my what-if guy. You know, what if this guy started the season at middle linebacker? How much better are, you know, the Jaquan Williams of the world, Spencer Paisinger, Keith Rivers, how much does he elevate the other guys on the team when it's not just coming from Montrezl and on the defensive line? If Tuck is playing the same way that he did all year, you know, earlier in the season, how much better is his defense? And then that allows offense to catch up. But going back to Beeson, he's been a tremendous addition, and I know they got to make some decisions, guys, but hopefully he's a part of the solution going forward.
Roman, he was a godsend for this defense. Cool. And really, that trade, I firmly believe, only happened because Dave Gettleman, the GM down in Carolina, has a relationship with Jerry Reese, and that conversation took place. That's why John Beeson became a New York Giant. But they really need to re-sign him. To bring John Beeson back, what he meant to this defense, I mean, they haven't had a linebacker out there on the field calling out formations, getting guys lined up, and calling out plays as the offensive breaks huddles like that since Antonio Pierce was there. And I thought John Beeson, he's the total package. And you know what? I'm not saying that you're going to throw the bank at him. You know, I mean, his age is going to be a factor. But what he brought to this defense, the heart and soul, the way that he played, the leadership on and off the field, I think that is huge for this defense going forward. They need John Beeson back.
We need John Beeson. They need Linville Josephs. They need a couple of these guys because, you know, one of the major emphasis they had this year was to stop the run up the middle. I think they did that. Yes. They got the defensive tackle position is very strong. Now they got to work on this linebacking core. And I think John Beeson should be a pillar in terms of what you need to keep because that's the type of guy, not only what he can bring you on the field, but also, the attitude that he brings, just like Antrell Roll, those are the types of guys you need to bring together all these athletic players.
Yeah. The defense certainly had a good season, and it really got picked up as soon as he was stepped into the starting lineup. All right, we got a lot more coming up, including we're going to hear from quarterback Eli Manning, hear how his ankle is. But right now, we got to take care of some business. Got to make sure, folks, you go to Adorama.com/Giants to win yourself a Samsung 50-inch 3D LED smart TV. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Night.
Yeah, I just felt the guy kind of bit me back and got my foot stuck underneath him and knew it was hurt a little bit at the time and just hoping it wasn't worse and very happy to hear it was just a sprain. Well, obviously, I would have liked to eliminate one interception on the year, so obviously it didn't work out. Probably, I was hoping sometimes you kind of get an ankle or you get kind of banged up and it goes away after a second stayed in. Obviously they covered the guy pretty well. I don't think I was going to pull it down and run it at that point and try to fit it in there and end up being tipped up and intercepted. So it didn't work out well for us. I hope he's back and he wants to be back and the Giants want him back. You never know how these things work out. I definitely hope that he's the coach of the Giants next year. No. No, I don't know either way. Yeah, I think it's just rest. Rest for a few weeks. I'll probably be in a boot for a while. That's what they say with the high ankle sprain. Just obviously, I have time now, and so I'll just rest it up and start rehabbing and I'll probably have a little better idea tomorrow or the next day as I go in and figure out what I need to do to get it better. Well, you never know. Only thing is they're really kind of taking me out of a game before where I missed time. But, I think it's serious, but it's one that it will heal, and it will heal and have an off season to do that. So, I'm not worried about it being a lasting effect.
How hard is it?
No, no, yes, you know, it's not something, not something that's really happened before, and you know, you hate to leave your teammates, and you like to, you know, finish knowing it's going to be the last game of the season, go out there and finish and get a win. So, you know, proud that, you know, made enough plays early in the game to have us get us a lead at halftime, and the guys played outstanding in the second half, but a bunch of big plays, and defense played outstanding. So it was good to, you know, at least finish the season with a win, and obviously, you know, now just try to, you know, put this season behind us, you know, learn from it, try to get better from some of the things that happened, and you know, heal up this ankle and get ready for next year.
Do you think you'll do anything differently this offseason just based on some of the numbers that
Well, you know, I'll look hard at this season, see if there's just a common reason why we didn't have success. Whether it's the throws or whether it's just the offense in general, and you know, try to you know, talk with the coordinators and the coaches and try to figure out, you know, what's the best way to make improvements and how do we improve. If I got to look something at my mechanics and just, you know, look hard at it and try to figure out the best way to get back to playing at a high level and making good decisions.
All right, well, listen, we don't know that there's ever a good time for a high ankle sprain, but it happens to Eli on his final game of the season. You were talking about it. We're talking off camera. You've had one of those.
Yeah,
you know,
how
long will it take for Eli to come back from that? Will he be walking around on crutches?
I had a high ankle sprain a couple of times, different seasons, and it actually bothered me throughout the offseason. I was able to come back and play after a couple of weeks, but you're never 100%. During the season, it takes a good 4 to 6 weeks, even after the season, before you're really able to start running and really being aggressive. I think for Eli, the good thing is they have time. The offseason program doesn't start till April, so really the only thing it'll probably affect is his golf game, which isn't that good to begin with. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. But I tell you, it's just an exclamation point on an awful season for Eli. I mean, I know it's been frustrating with the receivers, the relationship with that, the interceptions. I mean, how fitting. He starts off his very first pass of the season was an interception, and his last pass of the season was an interception. That's pretty much it in a nutshell for Eli.
Yeah, I think as an offensive lineman, we both were responsible for blocking quarterbacks in this league. You always kind of cringe when you watch Eli Manning going down. Every time he gets hit, every time his arm gets hit, every time he gets uncomfortable in the pocket. And, like, you're right, that represents the lack of cohesion, communication, consistency. Staying healthy, you know, not having a running game. And this team was, I think, 80 yards a game, 31st in the league rushing this year. So all those things are the best friend of a quarterback. When you can run the ball well, effectively, when you can protect. Last year he was amongst the least sacked quarterbacks in the league. This year it's the exact opposite.
Let me just say this. The Giants are really lucky. Because let's say that was a bigger injury. To lose Eli in a meaningless game, right down. I mean, let's just say it was worse and it was surgery and it's obviously going to put it all back. I mean, that would have been awful. So I think the Giants really dodged a bullet right there, because looking at this game, I mean, Tom and I were talking before, hey, you know, should they play Ryan Nassib? Should they play Curtis Painter? Should they have shut Eli down for this last game anyways, like Shanahan did with RG3. They're lucky they dodged a bullet right there. That's all.
They've been playing a lot of meaningless games.
but you know what?
Oh, stop.
Yeah, you're right. The truth of the matter is, though, to Eli Manning, and I'm not just saying it, you know, to cut him slack, but to Eli, they're never meaningless. And that's what makes Eli the leader.
Yeah, you know, well, he'd never tap out like some of the guys did today.
Never would. All right. You are watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9, brought to you by The Children's Place, the kids' fashion partner of none other than the New York Giants. Again, you're watching Giants Post Game Live. A lot more coming up, so stay right where you are. The Giants Post Game Live once again. What do you say we now go right back to MetLife Stadium, where Paul Dottino caught up with the Giants star of the game, Jarrell Jernigan.
Well, it seems like we've been making a habit of this for the last three games, Jarrell. Again, the star of the day. You get into the touchdown or the end zone twice, once on an end around. Now, where did you guys come up with that one? Because I hadn't seen that out of Kevin Gilbride's playbook for a while.
Well, it's been in playbook all year. We just haven't got the look to run it. Well, it still wasn't the look tonight to run it, but I guess he said that we were just going to run it anyway. The end didn't pinch down. He actually widened. a little bit, so I had to make some guys miss, and I had some great blocks from Barrett Pascoe and Lewis Murphy out there.
You know, not only did you make a nice touchdown catch today, I thought it was a difficult grab, by the way. I'll give you some props on that. You've been doing that now in each of the last 3 weeks. What has changed about your game that you have allowed yourself to step up and make these kinds of plays where, up to this point, I think you would admit it's been a rather nondescript early career for you?
Pretty much, you know, you never want to see nobody go down, but with Victor going down and me playing behind him in the slot, that's where I'm more comfortable at in the slot. But he was having an outstanding year, so can't knock him on that. So basically just going in more and more comfortable in the slot than outside.
Tom Coughlin said to me last week that he was very impressed with the toughness that you've showed here down the stretch. You've been taking some hits. You've been getting up. You've been doing everything that they asked you to do. So in the back of your mind, what are the kinds of things that you wanted to prove to this coaching staff and this organization as you look forward to 2014?
Pretty much that I can go out and make plays for the offense in this organization. And, you know, with Vic coming back next year, be an asset with me, him, and Ruben Randall. If Akeem come back next year, out there with them.
Yeah, this receiving core, we just don't know right now what's going to happen. Akeem Nicks, a big question mark. So there will be some reps to be had, won't there?
Oh, without a doubt. Like I said before, this all season I'm going to go in and work on being an outside receiver, you know, with Vic coming back in the slot. So and if Coach want to mix and match us next year, so be it.
And then final question about Eli Manning, the quarterback who's tougher than nails. We saw him go out with that sprained ankle earlier today. As one of his offensive teammates, that's got to shock you anytime the robo quarterback gets knocked on the ground like that and has to come out.
Oh, yeah. At first, I was asking, was he okay? He said, yeah. And then I seen the next pass from him. I was like, he's not okay. So then I seen him go out. I really didn't know what was wrong with him, but I talked to him in the locker room. He said he was okay.
Gerald Jernigan, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Paul. And let's ask the all-time Giants leading receiver about a young receiver there. How important it is, not just for the team moving forward, knowing what he can do, but for Gerald Jernigan moving forward, the confidence that he knows that he can now get the job done.
It definitely brings him a lot of confidence. I know you've been on the sideline early in my career, getting an opportunity to play and actually making plays. It really does give you that confidence. But and now it's the onus is going to go back onto him. I mean, now there's going to be some expectation, more expectation because of what he did on the field these last three games. And, you know, there's a lot of young players that start to have a little bit of success, and it changes their approach on how they got that success. So what he needs to do is keep focusing on what he's done to get to the point where he's able to be on the field and contribute and keep moving on, getting better with it. If you all these players that have success and all of a sudden start resting on their laurels, that's when in the NFL you start to go in the opposite direction. So I hope he keeps going in the same direction because he does show a lot of promise these last couple of days.
And one thing that Tom Coughlin has continued to say when describing Gerald Jernigan, he uses the word toughness all the time. So, I mean, and believe me, Gerald's not the biggest guy, and, you know, we little
guys. That means a lot
coming
from you.
That's exactly right. Man, that's exactly. And don't you ever forget. You're watching Giants Post Kids Live.
Nice class house here.
On my nine, stay right where you are.
Verizon Fios, making life more entertaining with America's fastest, most reliable internet.
I think everybody knows me. No, I really don't care too much for that when you don't have the season as a team that you want it, but it's good to go out there and have a personal successful year, I guess. But you know, more importantly, you know, was able to get a win today and kind of go into the off season with a good feeling in that regard. But I think the most you're gonna remember from this season is, you know, the disappointment. I think it's the guys that finished 7-3. You know, I think we started to play our style of football. 0-6, man. I mean, obviously, that's never happened around here. And, you know, we still can't put our finger on the fact of what caused it to happen. But we just, you know, didn't play well. But I think what you saw the last 10 games is what this team is about. The resiliency, the leadership, the never quit, never die attitude, even, you know, supposedly when we didn't have much to play for, you know, come out and get two, you know, good wins at the end of the year to make the a little bit more respectable heading into the offseason. And, you know, that's the team that I've always been a part of here. And, you know, unfortunately, you know some games early in the season just didn't run our way.
All right, that was one of the captains, Justin Tuck. And here's the big question that everybody, one of the big questions everyone wants to talk about. Does he stay or does he go?
Well, I think we talked about this a lot during the game. It always goes back to where a team values a guy financially versus where he values himself along with his agent. And I think what Justin Tuck did is, and that's what, one sack the first 8 games and then 10 the second half of the season. I mean, he showed that he's still productive at his age. But also, if he wants to be a Giant, he'll be a Giant one way or the other. But if he wants to advance his career, I think there are going to be other teams out there that would pay a premium for a guy with 2 Super Bowl rings, a very popular player nationally with all, you know, national commercials and all that, especially if it's a team that doesn't have an identity. So there are a lot of teams out there like that looking to improve. So I think that decision is ultimately up to Justin Tuck.
Yeah, teams always are going to be looking for pass rushers, guys that can make big plays like that, create the forced fumble, set the edge. For Justin Tuck, I think it's really going to come down to communication. Will he be able to keep communication lines open with Jerry Reese? Can he talk to them and find out exactly what he wants going forward? Because I don't think for Justin it's going to be about money. So I think other teams may try to get into the picture, but I don't think Justin Tuck wants to put on another uniform or another helmet. He understands. I mean, he has a house here in Jersey. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He's a pillar in the community as well. So I think all of those factors are going to play a big part in Justin. And I think he would be willing to take less to stay with the New York Giants, because I think he realized the future of the Giants, it's DeMontre Moore, it's Jason Pierre-Paul, Kiwanuka. So I think Justin understands that.
Well, I disagree with you, not to be a Howard Cross, but I disagree with you a little bit. It's always about the money. Everybody always goes where the money is. If somebody offers you more money, you go there. You love being a Giant, I understand that. But at the end of the day, you got to make sure that you're going to be able to take care of your family and get as much as you can out of this game. So I think that there's a lot of people who think that he's, you know, he's a great player, 10 sacks. But if you really look at 11 sacks, you break down what he did this year, you kind of look at a guy who kind of wasn't productive, like you said, Roman, early on, and then realized, oh, wait, it's a contract year. Then he turns it on. Is this a guy that's going to turn it on and off, or is this a guy that's that player at the end of the year, the entire season?
But there's one thing I think we need to remember, and I let him rest in peace, the old great, late great George Young. It's always about the money, gentlemen, but remember this. It's a situation where he's had the ability now to, Justin has, to look and see former teammates, O.C., Umanyora, and Brandon Jacobs. They both left, and it didn't work out very well. So
he's been underpaid for a while now.
We will wait and see on that. We'll come back with our final thoughts to wrap up this final season. Let's take care of some very important business, though, right now, folks. You want to join the New York Giants alumni at the American Red Cross Blood Drive coming up on Saturday, January 4th at the Empire Meadowlands Hotel in Secaucus, New Jersey. All you got to do is register at redcrossblood.org/NYGWinter14.com or simply call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Stay right where you are. We're coming back. Final comments on Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Well, there you see the stats, you know, from today's running game for the Giants. And, you know, that is a tremendous, tremendous question, guys, moving forward next year. Who's going to get to carry the ball? Because there are, when I say questions, number one, we don't know if David Wilson is coming back with that neck injury. I mean, forget about just playing football. He might not be coming back, period. That's one. What happens with Brandon Jacobs? What happens with Andre Brown? What happens with Peyton Hillis? I mean, those are all questions. Right now, I don't know who's carrying the ball next year.
Yeah, guys, I mean, there's 12 guys on injury reserve on this team. 12 guys. 3 are offensive linemen, and one's David Wilson. So by design, this thing didn't end up the way it started at the beginning of the season. Obviously, you brought back Brandon Jacobs. You brought Payton Hillis off the street. He's played hard. He runs angry. I mean, he gives you that physical presence. But then you also have a fullback, you know, Terminator, who I think he's a little bit underutilized. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think the Giants need to decide what the running identity needs to be going into next year. They need to decide rather quickly so that everyone can really start to get on the same page, because that helps the running game. Obviously, time of possession, keeping another offense on the sideline. So it starts and ends with a run game and controlling it up front.
Yeah, I think they want David Wilson to be the guy. I mean, the health, that's the biggest question mark. You know, is his neck going to be okay? I think Andre Brown, I think he is their 1-2 guy, as long as he can stay healthy. But I thought Michael Cox showed some flashes of, you know, great explosion, some great vision. It's all about experience, and it's all about reps. And that's why I think David Wilson will get first shake at it if he is healthy, because, you know, he was a second-year player this year, and I think that for him, the more reps, the better, and that experience is what exudes confidence at the running back position.
I think David Wilson is a great athlete, but yeah, after 2 years watching him run, I don't know if he's a great running back. And so I don't know if you can allocate all the money that they allocate in the cap to a guy that's still a project going into his third year. I think you got Payton Hillis, a guy you don't have to pay that much. He, to me, was one of the most impressive runners this year. Of course, you got Andre Brown, who had an impressive year, but he fumbles the ball too much. So there's a lot of question marks. Maybe they go to the draft another time and try to pick up a young running back that they can build upon.
But I think going back to what our conversation was earlier, we know you need the running backs, but at the same point, it doesn't matter who's carrying the ball if they don't get this offensive line fixed. That, I think everybody agrees, fans, everybody, that has to be the number one priority.
Yeah, and there's a lot of decisions that need to be made, guys, on this team. I mean, going forward, I mean, you talk about free agency and guys that count heavy against the cap. You've got 1 year guys, you know, Jacobs, Webster, Aaron Ross. I mean, these guys in IR, Chris Snead. Yeah. Obviously, we talked about Tuck. So
Dave Deal.
Yeah, Deal. I mean, a lot of decisions have to be made, and I think the Giants are collectively, administratively, are going to put their best foot forward and see what the best options are.
Yeah, this team offensively could look very different next year, and not just good offensive linemen. They need healthy offensive linemen. That's a big thing that I know Jerry Reese, he's got his work cut out for him. It's going to be a big offseason for the Giants.
Is there going to be a shakeup in the front office? Is there going to be some maneuvering in terms of who's where and who's going to be making the decisions? Because there hasn't been good decision-making over the last couple years, and it's really showed this year when the depth was needed to really supplement this roster.
Well, I'll say this right now. Take it to the bank that head coach Tom Coughlin will be back. I asked Tom on Thursday when his next season start. He said it starts on Monday. But right now, our season ends at this very moment for my guys here, Roman Oben, Sean O'Hara, and Amani Toomer. I'm Russ Salzberg for the entire crew. It's been a fun season. Thank you very much. We will talk to you next year. Bye-bye.
Good job, Ross.